Welcome to the e-commerce growth show, brought to you by Segmentify, the fast, lean learning machine, the fastest learning, most revenue-generating personalization platform for e-commerce.
Welcome to the e-commerce growth show. At the moment, we're still in a lovely, sunny day, and we're in an eased lockdown situation, so anyone can go anywhere. So I really hope by the time that you guys listen to this, we're not in a second wave. We've got a bit of a mixed bag regarding the kids, because I'm sort of unofficially on the list because I've got some kind of asthma. So they're not going, my little five-year-old's not going back to school at the moment. But to be honest, I don't think they're missing it too much with the copious kind of trampoline breaks and hot chocolates and tablet time and so on. So it's all going okay from a homeschooling point of view. Anyway, so it's time to welcome our guests now. And I've got my first tag team in the series. I have Asha Gordon and Emily King, who are Head of Paid Media and Commercial Director at Tug, which is a global performance marketing agency. So I'm not going to drop Emily in it by asking her to explain that in detail, but I'm sure we'll hear a lot more about it. Asha has 10 years of experience at various full service agencies like Wavemaker, part of the massive WPP group, and also PhD Global Business, part of Omnicom. And Emily has more than 7 years experience in agencies, in the agency world, and also even worked at Twitter in Barcelona for a year, which sounds pretty exciting. Hey guys.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for having us.
Hey, not at all. How are you both doing?
Good, thanks. Yeah, just wishing I was out in the sun still at the weekend, but
I know.
Pretty good Monday recording this with you.
Absolutely, yeah, it was beautiful, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah. So, as a bit of an icebreaker, what are you guys most looking forward to after this lockdown finally ends?
Well, for me, it's just around being able to hang out with friends as much as I like. So, just being able to go to like a pub or a park or even just Nando's, just when I feel like it.
Yeah, completely. How about you, Emily?
For me, it's Burrito Tuesdays. So me and Asha go for lunch every Tuesday when we're usually in the office, and there's a burrito truck which is quite close. So
amazing.
We quite often get burritos on a Tuesday. I'm just really missing that at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I love burritos, and obviously it's not the topic for today. But when I used to stop off at Paddington, you know, they've got that. What's it, Chiquito, whatever it's called, that burrito place there. And I just find it such an amazing combo that you've got just that, I suppose it's that combo of carbs in it, all wrapped up. And you take a bite, you're like, whoa, it's like you're in heaven. But yeah, I miss those too, I must admit. I should try and make them actually. I wonder how.
Definitely.
Yeah. Anyway, so the overall theme for today is around paid media and how to use that to drive customer acquisition and retention as a strategy. So say we open up with a question around the general e-commerce world at the moment. Of course, we've seen lockdown, how that's affected e-commerce. We're still kind of in a relaxed lockdown now, still by no means out of the woods. And e-commerce has completely changed from a couple of months back. And of course, is constantly evolving anyway. So from your guys' point of view, to begin from an overarching point of view, what do you think are the most recent changes that you've seen and what impact they've had?
Well, from my perspective, COVID obviously has just shaken it up massively.
Yeah.
So we've seen the likes of Amazon and grocery stores with online presence just see massive surges in sales, obviously because there's a perfect storm between people not being able to go out, can't go out to physical stores, and then having more time at home to browse and make those impulse purchases.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I think, you know, it's not just that, but how users' habits have completely changed and are still changing. So right at the start of lockdown, you know, people were, it was highly in demand for toilet roll, for hand sanitizer, more recently, bikes. Been trying to buy a bike. Ash has been trying to buy a bike over the last few weeks, and it's sold out everywhere. So if anybody's listening and sells bikes, then let me know. because I've not been able to get one so far. I think, you know, kind of putting COVID aside for a moment, something else that's really interesting and is linked with what we're talking about today is that over recent years, there's been a big rise in subscription model businesses. And I think what is quite interesting with that is whilst we talk today, we're talking about acquisition and retention. And for subscription model businesses, they've already built in the retention aspect to their acquisition. So for clients that we work with that have a subscription model, you're already looking for that customer who is going to stay with you long term as part of your acquisition rather than the other way around. And I think that's really interesting. And one of the things we are going to talk about today is, you know, for businesses that aren't a subscription model, what can you do and how can you adapt your paid media strategy specifically for acquisition and retention, because they need to be different.
I love that. That's really interesting because, I mean, the strategy, obviously, that fits with Segmentify in terms of being a SaaS platform, or you've got your greys and that idea, then being transposed to a brand that doesn't have that kind of luxury, if you like. I'm really keen to hear more about that. So we're talking about paid media, as you've mentioned, for customer acquisition and retention. So what do you think are some of the biggest challenges that brands face when it comes to paid media in general?
So just, again, going back to COVID, we've seen purchase journeys just change massively. And the two main ways they've changed are around, so there's been a lot of built-up demand that people can't act on or couldn't act on at the height of the pandemic. Yeah. So a good example I always use is around travel and holidays. So obviously I booked a couple of holidays I was meant to go on, and I was thinking about booking something for early, late June as well. But because in the short term, we can't predict what's happening with holidays, a lot of people aren't booking now because they're just thinking about, okay, let's look at when we're out of lockdown. Let's look at Q3, Q4 or 2021. And then there's going to be a lot of brands that are going to want to sell your holidays towards the end of the year. And the brands that are doing the upper funnel activity now will be the brands that people look to when when it's over or when they can start booking holidays again. So it's just making sure that brands are in that space and on top of mind.
Interesting, just from my point of view, I'm sure everybody else will know, but when you say upper funnel, I'm sure you're going to cover it in other points and stuff, but in general, what does upper funnel mean?
Yeah, so that means more around the awareness part. So if you look at a funnel, it's driving people through the funnel to purchase. So upper funnel is just more awareness, learning about brands. And right at the bottom of the funnel is actually just buying and purchasing.
Got you. How about you, Emily?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really interesting point, and it goes back to what I was just saying a minute ago about how user journey and people's habits have changed and what they need right now. And that means that, you know, maybe a decision journey has become a lot shorter because you just need that product. Whereas at the moment, maybe there's other things like the example Asha gave as holidays. Which you don't, I mean, we all need one right now, but you know, you can't go. So it means that maybe, you know, you're thinking about it, but you're not ready to book yet. In which case, you know, it goes back to what Asha was saying about having that share of voice and having your brand out there. So when people are ready to convert, they think of you. But, you know, there are, I think, obviously we're going to talk about COVID because we're all living through this global pandemic, but there are lots of brands that can continue somewhat business as usual. And I think generally speaking with e-commerce and just looking at the space when you're thinking about paid media is that it is still a challenge for brands always to cut through the noise. There's a lot of advertisers across all the different platforms that we work with. And I think it's just really understanding how you can get the best return on investment for what for what you're investing into your paid media strategy. So I was chatting to Asha last week about one of my friends had messaged me and just said, oh, do you know any, I want to buy my sister a birthday present. Do you know any good jewellery brands? I want to have a look for, you know, a specific type of necklace. So I sent her a few website links as some examples, a couple of accounts I follow on Instagram. And for, I think, the next 3 or 4 days later, my Instagram was completely bombarded with only advertisements for jewellery brands. And I think that just shows, you know, like a lot of brands at the moment are, you know, they know they need to be on digital marketing channels. They know that it's a strong tactic for acquisition. And I think that it is challenging still for those brands, with a lot of other competitive brands doing the same thing, to be able to acquire customers at a cost-effective rate, especially when it's sometimes, I mean, jewellery, you know, obviously you can spend a lot of money on jewellery, but sometimes with brands that where the product isn't that expensive, it's how do you make sure the investment that you're putting into your media is being returned later down the line?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, around ROI, because it's a massive one for everybody, and particularly where you're spending on advertising and then you want a return on that. And coming back to what Ash was talking about, and both of you really, about upper funnel type activity where a brand is not going to be able to get immediate acquisition, but it's more about awareness, let's say. Do brands and agencies still have to, you know, try and get an ROI on that? Or is it more loose, if you like? Like, for example, do you know what I mean? I'm doing a podcast series. I'm not looking for an ROI on that. It's more of an awareness piece. So do you do the same thing in terms of that strategy for both the brand and yourselves?
Yeah, so what we tend to do is we'll try and have some sort of attribution. So look at what upper funnel activity has driven to the brand. So has that meant more people are coming through to the site? Does conversion rate increase when we're doing the upper funnel activity as well? So they are different strategies, but we try and have an overarching strategy where we look at how that is helping the brand and try and model that out as well further down the line.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. So moving on to then the use of paid media for both, because you're mentioning the overarching thing here is acquisition and retention. So how do brands use paid media differently for acquisition and retention?
Sorry, Asha, do you want to make your other point about brands offering discount for first-time purchases and stuff, like maybe to introduce just the start of this question?
Yeah. So what I wanted to also just follow on from Emily's point was just looking at, there's a lot of brands and a lot of cut-through. So a lot of brands will look at, Emily's jewelry example, will look at getting people through the door and offering discounts. So by doing that, you want to make sure that you're retaining these customers as well. So you want to make sure that even though some customers are taking advantage of the discounts, how you can get those customers to buy again, and how you can make sure that you're retaining those customers through the life cycle. So it's making sure, yes, having acquisition and having targets for that, but also once you get those people through the door and once they've bought, making sure you've got an acquisition strategy in place as well to make sure they make a repeat purchase.
Yeah, no, completely, completely. So yeah, moving on to what I was saying about how then you use it differently for those.
Yeah, and from a paid media perspective, then we would make sure that we're looking at, so PPC, for example, looking at different keywords. So a new customer, an existing customer might search for different keywords. So a new customer might just be looking to purchase jewelry, find a jewelry company, find a company that delivers. But an existing customer might just search for your brand already, if they're aware of your brand, or look for any brand discounts. So just having different keyword lists for new and existing, and then also having different audience lists. So people that have been to your site before, people that have bought from your site before, people have been to your site and not bought. So just separating out those keywords, those lists, those customer lists, just so you understand how people are interacting with your site differently, and then having different strategy for those people based on what you know about them already.
Sure. And how do you go about getting those lists, measuring which ones are for which kind of segment, if you like? How do you do that?
So it's understanding your business and understanding people that have been to your site as well. So, for example, if you use something, a tool called Google Analytics, or even in Google Ads, or even on Facebook, what you can use are something called pixels on your site, and then you can segment users based on if they've been on your site before. So someone that's been landed on your checkout page, or someone that's just been on your landing page.
Yeah,
those are examples of people that have been on your site before and how you can segment them. And then if you've got someone that's coming to your site, but aren't on those lists, they're more than likely going to be a new customer.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Emily, were you going to add some stuff as well on that?
Yeah, sure. So I think going back to the question that you asked about how brands can use paid media differently for acquisition and retention, yeah. I think that, as I was talking about earlier, acquisition strategies are generally more straightforward. So,
yeah.
You know, the way that we often work at TUG is that we use different combination of channels for different stages in the funnel. So, you know, for example, we have certain channels which would be for conversion. So we're using PPC, retargeting, and often paid social is a really good channel for that. And, yeah. you know, working with clients in e-commerce, as Asha said, you know, the copy or the content that you use to get yeah. people through the door is yeah. free trial or discount or new customer offer. So it's a yeah. lot easier to acquire customers that way. And, mm-hmm. you know, we, in order to find new audiences, we quite often do a bigger brand awareness push in terms yeah. of channels we would use for that are programmatic display. We would use audio. We would use out of home, cinema, TV, lots of combination of channels to reach people that are outside kind of the current echo chamber that yeah. we have to build yeah. that awareness, and therefore searches increase around the key, you know, referring to the keyword list that Asha was talking about. So we can then capture yeah. and convert people when it comes to paid search. So yeah. generally speaking, we look at the most cost-effective way to do that. So we try the different yeah. combinations of channels, see yeah. what gives us the most brand uplift and therefore converts into search and conversion.
Yeah.
And really it's just about just optimizing and looking at the attribution to understand how you can target and capture those customers. There's a lot of test yeah. and learn that goes on with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. generally speaking, you really start to understand yeah. how you can get that really cost-effective acquisition. However, when it comes to retention, I think it's a lot more about understanding your customers. And I think yeah. that it is a lot more complex when you think about it, because Asha can probably give some better examples, but, you know, you have people who would only, you know, discount shoppers, sales shoppers, they're only going to buy from you when there's a discount or a sale on. How do you make sure you're yeah. reaching those people? You've got people that are loyal to your brand, or there's people, you know, depending yeah. on what kind of company that you are, there'll be different yeah. peaks of seasonality, which is relevant to a certain customer set. Yeah. I don't know, Asha, if you want to expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, so I think an example I like to use in this instance is around like clothing stores. So you're thinking like of your H&Ms and your ASOS. So
yeah.
there are going to be some people that are only going to buy when there's a sale on. So some people are going to look to buy new shorts or T-shirts when they know there's going to be a discount in their price. So yeah. you might be buying shorts in the winter because that's what they like
yeah,
to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So what
yeah.
you want to do is try and segment those people into their own list, because they're more than likely going to buy when there's a sale on. So hit them yeah. with a sales message when there's a sale on. But there yeah. might be people that just buy when there's a new season or new trends come out. So it's understanding, again, yeah. those people that are more likely yeah. to pay full price for your product, because you want people to pay full price, and yeah. then targeting them when there's a new trend that has come out. So it's yeah, all yeah. about thinking about when different customers are going to be likely to purchase, and then yeah. making sure that you've got lists segmented for those customers. And then keeping those lists updated and making sure you hit the customers with the right messaging at the right time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that makes sense. Go on, Emily.
No, I think it's a really interesting point because it reminds me of, I was reading a study by the IAB earlier in the year about D2C brands and how they're really, D2C stands for direct to consumer, yeah. and how they're really shaking up the e-commerce and kind of retail landscape. And yeah. and one of the key things that they mention is that, you know, the reason D2C brands are so successful is because yeah. what's at their core is that they really like get to know their customers' needs and preferences, and they yeah. tailor their offering to yeah. you know, provide that level of personalization and convenience that not maybe other kind of more traditional competitors aren't doing. And that is why they've seen so much success. And I think that that approach should be reflected in your paid media retention strategy as well. And it is about kind of a data-driven strategy and understanding those customers and being really smart in the way that you are targeting them and at what time of year and with what kind of messaging.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. You know, when you say, just to check from my point of view, direct to consumer, is that like a Eve's Sleep or something where it's like one product, kind of laser focused, like value proposition, if you like, to their customer set? And then, so can, like, if you're not a D2C in that sense, so you have a wider product set, if you like, what are your thoughts around that, where you can't be laser focused on, look, we do beds, man, and they're amazing. What, how do you go back to what Ash was saying around the more segmentation piece about knowing who does what when, and then trying to tailor all of your acquisition and retention around that?
Exactly. And it's I mean, you know, when we work with our clients on this, it's not like you're going to figure it out the first time you try and do it. It's just starting somewhere, and then the strategy evolves in time, and you just adapt and learn, and you use different channels, and you try new things, and you have different customer sets. And I think working in this adaptable and flexible way is, I mean, every brand has got to be thinking about it now. Look what's just happened. The global pandemic came out of nowhere, and it's completely changed the way everybody is living and working and the economy. And so I think, you know, if that doesn't prove to you that you need to be flexible and adaptable in your strategy and be testing and learning new things all the time. I think that's really important, and that's what you should be doing in your paid media as well. You should always be looking to improve on what you're doing and seeing where you can look for new opportunities.
Absolutely. And it's, I mean, it's interesting you're saying that, because what strikes me is that, and I have this quite a bit actually when I talk to other people in our space, is that there is an awful lot of work to be done in these various areas, if you like, whether it's paid, you know, whether it's organic, whether it's tech, whatever. And it seems to me like, I mean, unless you've got a massive internal team that's doing all this stuff, you couldn't possibly get the kind of optimization of each of these things, right? So do you find it from your point of view that you're almost an extension of their team and you're doing all this stuff that they couldn't possibly do themselves?
Yeah, I would say we are. So there's obviously been a lot of talk on in-housing and what agencies offer in terms of different brands, be it big or small. Being an extension of a team is a great way to look at it, because with agencies, a lot of agencies do work with different clients and different verticals as well. And then by doing that, you learn about more tricks of the trades, different optimization you can use. Uh-huh. You learn from having different people in your agency, having all-hands meetings and understanding different and nuances with the different channels and how to be a little bit more flexible and productive with those different channels. So definitely looking at it as being an extension of a team and using that to just tap agencies for knowledge, the knowledge that you definitely wouldn't get if you're just thinking about your one vertical and your one client and your one product.
Yeah, completely.
And I think traditionally as well, above the line media has been bought separately to any activity that companies are doing on digital. And the way that we work at Tug, you know, Asher heads up that team for all paid media. And I think it's just becoming increasingly important that that strategy is totally aligned with everything that you're doing and helping, it helps measure the results of some of the out-of-home or above-the-line activity that you're doing, because you can see those increases in searches or uplift.
Yeah. What? Sorry. What is above the line? What is above the line? Just for me.
Asher, that's your question.
So above the line is just media you will see like on TV or out of home.
Awesome. So I was going to talk about media actually, because I don't know much about that space. I know when I was working at Trustpilot, I was working with some of the media houses, like you know from your background, Asher. What is the situation of media now in terms of adverts and stuff like that? Is it still like really expensive and stuff like that? I mean, how does it shape up these days with the new generations coming up and everything? Do they even watch telly? I mean, what's the score there?
So I like to see myself as the the younger generation, but unfortunately, I'm not nowadays. I still watch it on TV. But you're getting a lot of the younger generation, so you're under 24 that don't watch TV at all, don't watch linear TV. No. So they'll just have a laptop and they might just be watching TV, say, on your Netflix, your Amazon Prime, your BBC iPlayer.
Yeah.
But a good way to actually target those generations is looking at places like YouTube or looking at a more programmatic display and looking at the websites that they tend to go on.
What does programmatic display mean?
So programmatic basically
everybody knows what this is, right? I bet everybody knows apart from me, so I do apologize, right? But if you could let me know, that'd be great.
So programmatic, let me just say programmatic. Same programmatic display. Doesn't do it justice. So programmatic is basically using automated systems to target age, relevance of people you're going after. So it's basically using machines to target the people that you want to target based on your inputs. So if I wanted to target a 18-year-old that lives in Leeds, so it's just using systems to target those. And then, so when I'm saying programmatic display is, I want to target an 18 to 24-year-old in Leeds, and then using display channels to do that.
Okay. And then are you, when you say using machines, what are you using? I was going to ask about technology in general, but it sounds like there's some tech behind this. I mean, what machines are you using? Are they proprietary or are they out there that you use, like a kind of BI type environment, or what is it?
So it depends on what we're using for a particular client. So we do a lot of buying activity on Google Ads. So with Google Ads, you can target people across PPC and you can target people on what they call the Google Display Network. So just sites that are affiliated with Google in some way, so you can put adverts on. A typical site is Daily Mail. That's on the Google Display Network. That's a site that everyone is aware of. If I wanted to target someone that's 18 to 24, Google may put an advert on Daily Mail to if that person is actually consuming content on that website.
Yeah, got you. And then do you use like their proprietary type engine to be able to display that? Like, so you pay for something and then it turns up there because their engine is driving that?
Yes, because they've got obviously massive technology, machines and machine learning.
Yeah.
We use their technology. So we use all we see is their interface and just say, oh, we'll target 18 and 24, but it's using their machine who understand who is actually on the computer on a particular site at that time.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
By using machine learning, they can make sure that you're getting the best bang for your buck. So you're targeting the person as efficiently as possible. So if you wanted to target, say, just awareness or for conversion, it's them using their machines to understand.
Wow, clever. What
the best person is to target.
I suppose that for me, you know, the understanding of just how big a machine, literally, or bigger beast Google is, becomes more apparent when I'm talking to guys like you. You know, where you're using it in that way to, you know, manage and define how to market to brands to get your ROI, and just it's amazing actually. And obviously, how clearly it's important to be able to utilize companies like you guys to be able to get the best out of that. Because as I said earlier, you know, unless you've clearly got some sort of massive team, I can't believe how you can do all this stuff as an e-commerce or direct or marketing team within a brand. It's very interesting stuff.
Just expanding on that and talking about audience discovery. So I think, you know, that's ultimately what we're saying in terms of, you know, how you use paid media differently for acquisition and retention is you're making sure you're finding the right audience and targeting them at the right time. And so that's a lot of what the teams focus on at Tug is, you know, how can we effectively or more effectively be targeting that customer segment? And, you know, we have market research tools like YouGov, and we look at competitors as well to understand, you know, any particular trends. You know, does this audience have more of an affinity to this kind of channel or this kind of topic?
Interesting.
And the way that we work at Tug is that, you know, we are very, I guess, collaboratively working across all different channels. So as Asha explained, the way that different, you know, kind of machines work have slightly different targeting capabilities and opportunities for us to explore. But then often what happens is once we've seen success with that in one particular area or channel, you know, the guys that work at TUG, they'll all talk to each other and say, you know, we've found this worked really, really well this week. Why don't, you know, maybe you could adapt that to social or PPC or this kind of messaging, or maybe it's given us this little insight that we can then roll out across everything else that we're doing. And that's how you start to optimize and kind of push your campaigns forward.
Absolutely, that's so interesting. So why don't we move on to the question of when, particularly with existing customers? What are your thoughts on that?
So I'm going to start with it depends. Because it does depend. It depends on the channel. So for example, I know I've mentioned PPC quite a lot, but if you're targeting an existing customer in PPC, it's when that existing customer is actually searching. So you should be targeting them if they're searching for on a keyword that is more likely that they're going to convert. So if they want to buy groceries or buy a new holiday, or they've specified in that keyword their intent to buy, you want to target them. And that's with PPC. So the customer's telling you. But if you're using different channels, such as paid social or display, you're going to be pushing the message out. So you need to understand the life cycle of your industry. So if it's groceries, for instance, it's a monthly process. People are more than likely going to buy groceries each month. If it's a policy renewal or holiday, it might be annually. Yeah. So you need to understand your industry and when people are more likely to make that repeat purchase, and making sure you've built that into your back end. So it's a lot about using data to make that informed decision. So segmenting people who are likely to renew, or customers that are likely to switch at a certain time or want to perform an action at a certain time. So you want to make sure you're looking at that, and like I said, around building lists around retention, there's also building lists around timing.
Makes complete sense.
Let's not forget to exclude certain customers as well. So if someone's just made a purchase and they might be looking for FAQs, you need to be letting your organic or your own channels pick that up for you. You don't really want to be paying for people that have made that purchase and they're looking for a bit more information that you've provided. Providing your website if they just do easily.
No, absolutely. It sounds like it works in conjunction, actually, with, you know, a number of strategies. So, you know, I'm immediately into the Segmentify world around cyclical products. It's exactly the same concept that you're talking about, but it's interesting how you're going at the apple from different sides so that you minimize your wasted spend on PPC. And then at the same time, you're making sure that, for example, your personalization or your email targeting or your push notifications are bang on in terms of that same knowledge that you're using in one way with the paid, and in another way in terms of something like personalized product recommendations, where you know that if somebody's just bought that, you know, 5 kilogram tub of, you know, protein, that you're not going to hit them with a wasted product recommendation when they come back, because they're probably not going to be looking for that unless they're probably, you know, the Incredible Hulk or something. There's a good I understand how this works together as almost like a big picture together to maximize the opportunity from the inbound acquisition side and the retention side across multiple technologies and agency operations, if you like. Anything you want to add, Emily, on that?
No.
Cool. No worries. Thought I'd ask, just give you a chance, you know.
Yeah, but cut that bit out, won't you?
No way. This all goes raw. I'm joking. Anyway, so just to kind of finish off, I mean, it's been great to chat to you guys. Tell us a little bit about how guys can get in touch with you if they're interested in hearing more about the great stuff you've been talking about today.
Sure. I mean, I always love to chat to new people and just other people in the industry, find out what you've been doing. You can visit our website, tugagency.com, or you can send us an email at hellolondon@tugagency.com. Alternatively, both Asha and myself are on LinkedIn, so give us an ad and send a message to say that you heard us on the e-commerce growth show podcast.
Absolutely.
happy to have a chat.
Awesome. Nice one. And so I'd love to ask this as well, just as a kind of a closing question around, or a couple of questions actually. If you wanted to give the listeners, the guys out there today, a gold nugget, you know, to go away with something really, really important that you think sums up today, what would you say?
I'll start. I think that they should go away and segment their users into separate strategies if they haven't already. So not just, as we've been speaking about, for new customers and existing customers, but also looking at going a little bit more granular than that and looking at a sales shopper, is it a new trend shopper, if we're going back to the clothing examples, and just making sure you're using your data to understand how different people are using your site and converting.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah, and I think to add to that is just kind of what I've been saying throughout, but it's all about just learning from what you're doing and adapting your strategy, making sure that you are testing new tactics, new channels, new formats to reach those new audiences. And I think, you know, something that we encourage all our clients to do, and it's something for anyone listening to think about as well, is to actually allocate a test budget to allow you to do this. And I think sometimes it's a bit scary, but, you know, how else are you going to stay ahead of your competitors if you're not the person taking that first step and really trying to push your the performance of your campaigns further?
100%. And I know we were talking about us off air, but it's exactly the same for us, you know. And actually, I love the idea of that. You know, if it's such a serious thing, we find that when you're using Nost at the moment, or you're using Fresh Relevance or another platform, you know, we're not here to slate the competition. You know, we're here to go man to man and say to a brand that it's, if you're looking for the next marginal gain, the next, you know, level of return on your, be it paid media or be it personalization or email marketing or whatever, you need to be out there. Like probably we are in our businesses, striving forward, you know, what's the best way to do X, Y, etc. And we found that by offering things like, you know, free POCs and free A-B split tests, we are going to earn our stripes with any brand. You know, we're going to say to you, we don't want you to move from your existing supplier unless we can genuinely drive better conversion on your website and, you know, better return in the KPIs that you're looking to improve. So I think by... it's very rare actually we ever speak to anybody who's just saying, look, you know what, we're with X, we're not interested in talking to you. And I'm sure all the other competitors out there in both of our spaces, they know that the real opportunity is to say, do you know what, that's what drives the kind of free economy, is that, you know, the best man wins. If we can drive better gains for you, then, you know, it's an opportunity for the brands to actually keep abreast and drive that improvement forward. So yeah, I completely agree with you, Emily, completely there. Just one last thing for Asha, I believe, and this is really an opportunity just for you to say to the guys, Asha, if they've investing already in this type of thing, in terms of what you guys have been saying around the paid media side and the segmentation piece and everything else you were talking about and all the work you do in terms of managing that, they might be doing that a bit, some of it, all of it, in-house or with an agency. But irrespective of that, why would you say it would be very important, regardless of that, for guys to speak to you guys?
Well, I would say, well, at TIGE we've got a culture of continuous improvement and learning from each other. So even if you've tried this before, or you've invested in it before, or you already started to do this, it's always good to get a different opinion, to actually just go out there and ask and see if there's anything else we can do to help you with and understand how TUG could be that place you can come to and actually dig deep into your numbers, help you and help you grow.
Yeah. No, it makes complete sense. Well, thank you so much, guys. It was great to chat. And thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you found it useful. It just remains for me to say that if you haven't done so already, please do register at segmentify.com/podcast, and you'll pick up all the episodes, and you'll be able to obviously re-access this one and all the other ones that have already come out. And please, you're more than welcome to contact me anytime if you have a particular topic you'd like us to cover, or have any general questions, or indeed if you want to be involved in the series. And I'm at phil@segmentify.com. So just to finish off, thank you so much, guys, for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks for having us. It's been great to chat.
Not at all. And hopefully we'll have a second session at some time in the near future and hear how things are getting on. And thank you all ever so much for listening, and we look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Put us to the test and let us prove we can drive more revenue for you. Sign up for a completely free proof of concept or split test against your current provider. Set up and optimized by our team within a few days at segmentify.com/demo.